You are listening to Pure Opelka
with Mike Opelka.
Testudo, my friends, testudo, and welcome to Monday on the Pure Opelka podcast. And a busy weekend has given us a very full plate today. Of course, our buddy Dr. Wendy Patrick will join us, and we're going to get into the Oprah thing because I've been doing some digging on the Oprah thing, and yes, I actually believe that if she runs, she will be elected president. We will get into that after I share with you a very special experience, one of the most wonderful experiences I have had in a very long time. This past weekend, the Professional Bull Riding Association, or the PBR, held its season opening event in New York City. It's 3 days of bull riding, and it is amazing. It's electrifying. It's family entertainment. It is patriotic. It is everything you would want to see in a live show. There's great music. There is incredible athletic performance. And of course, there's the danger of riding a bull and getting stomped by a 12 to 1500 pound animal. And these guys barely wear any protection. It's just incredible. On Sunday, I was invited to show up at the final event, the one where they crown the champ for that weekend. They get a big belt buckle and a giant check for like $100,000. It is the toughest competition of the weekend. And I attended, and I saw a great show, the performances by the athletes, just terrific, and it is choreographed and produced brilliantly. So again, if the PBR comes to your town, go see it. But the most amazing thing was the start of the show. I couldn't believe it. The entire crowd, 13,000 people, were invited to stand while an invocation was read. In other words, 13,000 people, basically 13,000 strangers who all happened to be fans of the PBR, stood and said a prayer saying thank you, hoping for the best for our country, and saying a prayer for the riders in the competition that day. That was followed by the presentation of the colors and then the national anthem. Nobody knelt. Nobody. And I have to tell you, the moment of the national anthem was too good not to share with you. Please stand if you can.
And now to sing our national anthem, a United States combat veteran, a former Black Hawk helicopter pilot, and a two-time Gold Star family member who lost his brother and brother-in-law who were fighting for our country, all the while he was also engaged in fighting for this great nation. Please welcome Mr. Ryan Weaver.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
I'm not 100% certain, but I believe Ryan Weaver will be attending many of the big events that the PBR is putting on all across the country this year. I think the next one is happening in Chicago in just a couple of weeks. If you're in the area, it's worth the trip. I didn't watch professional football playoffs this weekend. I didn't watch the Golden Globes. I went and watched a patriotic American sport being played at the highest level, the PBR. All right, let's talk about the Golden Globes. And by talking about the Golden Globes, I really mean let's talk about Oprah. You see, nobody cares about the Golden Globes, and you probably can't tell me who won any of the big awards last night. First of all, they're not big awards. It's the Hollywood Foreign Press. It's a bunch of bobos from outside the country living here, throwing a party for themselves. And Hollywood, the actors, producers, directors, love trophies, so they started showing up years ago. They really don't mean anything. But last night's big winner was Oprah Winfrey. Oprah was put in front of the world last night and allowed to give a speech that essentially was a campaign stump speech and maybe her nomination speech. I believe Oprah Winfrey really is ready to run for president. And I've said this before. I said it in the two-minute drill. And I said this last summer when I talked about the Cosmo article spotlighting seven women they had chosen as possible first female presidents. Oprah was atop that list. Hillary was not on it. But I said, Oprah won't run. She won't run because she won't stand up to all the personal investigation, especially the part that asks, hey, where's Stedman and how close are you to Gayle King? Well, we hadn't seen Stedman for a long time. Last night he showed up. So I think Oprah's really considering this. Yeah, he was holding her hand at the table. So I think it's a thing. But I believe this has been in the works for a long time. Let's go back to 2016 and the summer of 2016, before Donald Trump had won the nomination, it was just about to happen. She appeared on Jimmy Kimmel's show.
Donald Trump has said many times, even like 15 years ago, he said that he would love, if he ran for president, he would love for you to be his running mate.
I think he was just joking about that.
I don't think he was joking.
I think he was, but okay.
Has he contacted you?
Have not gotten the call.
You've not. If he did make the call, would you take the call?
I would say, Donald, I'm with her.
Ah, I see.
Of course, Oprah wasn't going to undermine Hillary, but I do believe, based on this next question, she left the door wide open for the future. Listen closely.
True or false, if you decided, and if you were able to do this, to run for president today, you would beat both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton.
I do not believe that. I do not believe that. And believe me, that is never, will never. It's the one thing I know for sure, is I will never run for office. But I would say that for many years, I used to think, until this election year, I thought, wow, I have no, why do people say that? I have no qualifications to run. I'm feeling pretty qualified. After this year, I'm feeling really qualified.
Mm-hmm. Oprah sees herself as very qualified back in the summer of 2016. Fast forward to the winter of 2018, and she's looking like a candidate to me. Stedman by her side, holding her hand, getting a standing ovation. NBC declaring her to be President Oprah. The LA Times piling on and also supporting it. Oh, wait, NBC took the tweet down. Yeah, we got to talk about that. If it's Monday, it must be Dr. Wendy. I was trying to make that rhyme, but it didn't really work. Michael Pelka, I'm Pure Opelka with our friend Dr. Wendy Patrick. Wendy, I'm sleep deprived. It was a crazy weekend with all of the stuff that happened, from the Fire and Fury book to the Bannon apology to the Trump tweets about his intelligence. Do we ever get a chance to sleep? Is it ever going to happen?
You know, I'm glad that it doesn't, because we've had such a good time every Monday. We always think on Friday, gosh, I wonder if it's going to be a slow news weekend. And here we go every Monday morning trying to figure out not what to talk about, but how to narrow the scope of the sensational topics hit over the weekend. And today is no different.
Yeah, today is no different. I started watching it all as it was unrolling in front of us on Friday. And then I just kept taking notes. And I have like this pile of papers that I keep. Every time one happens, I write it down and I keep the notebook right by me. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, how are we ever going to talk about this? Now, this crazy, crazy book and the way this thing has rolled out, if this were a court case, just for example, I'm tapping into your prosecutorial smarts here. If this were a court case and this book were presented as being tied into the evidence, would the falsehoods that are in it, would some of the exaggerations, unsubstantiated stories, etc., would those taint the rest of the book so that a judge would say, we can't believe anything here?
There is no way that the unfounded allegations would ever get into evidence in court. And that's one of the reasons that hearsay is inadmissible unless it meets within certain exceptions. And there are a number of different exceptions, none of which would cover, he said, I heard, this is the reputation. So the short answer to your question is it would not be admissible in court. But remember, we're in a day and age where much of what is discussed is in the court of public opinion, and you can't simply wait for due process in a court of justice to write books, to quote people, to basically spout off on Twitter, whatever you want to say. And that's the frustration, I think, that you're seeing expressed by some in the current administration. You're actually seeing that frustration on both sides. Is it's a he said, she said, he said, she said, but none of it's been vetted sufficiently, and much of it's been denied, vehemently so, that you're right, Mike, that you're left with, how do I know what to believe? Nothing has been vetted to the extent, or I should say fact-checked to the extent it could be, because some of it was in private, so there isn't the kind of corroboration we always would hope to see with sensational allegations.
Well, that makes terrific sense and clears it up for me, and I if I'm in the court of Judge Judy, I'm throwing the whole book out. I say, you can't believe anything in here, because you lie to me once, I don't believe anything else you tell me. So I apply.
Well, now that's a really good point. That's a really good point you make, because a lot of people over the weekend were saying, oh, yes, but we know that these parts of the book are true. But you can't make the next leap, which is therefore everything else must be. So they're referring to it as a tell-all book, but telling all of what? That's the question. And, you know, you bring up court, something called the rule of completeness. In other words, you can't just introduce a part of a statement without introducing either the whole statement or enough to put it into context. Context informs content. And that's another objection you heard a lot of over the weekend is, well, that wasn't said in that fashion. That wasn't what so-and-so meant. And then, of course, you've got the blanket denials that the president and others are making, saying, we never said that. So-and-so never interviewed me. So you're left, it's some great, interesting allegations, but how do you know what to believe?
Well, I'm just going to wait for the sequel, because apparently Wolf says he's got more stuff, more salacious stuff, even hotter stuff that he's yet to release. And I'm thinking, why would you hold it unless the publisher said, you know what, there's too much here. Maybe we need a second book. I'm stunned by
maybe,
this.
Maybe
one.
That was the plan all along.
Yeah.
You know, because the president basically ensured over the weekend that this book was going to fly off the shelves. So no doubt that might have been part of the calculation on the front end to maybe split it into two. Now, you know, one wonders whether reputational damage is worth that much money. I know there's a lot of people that wouldn't write the kind of book that would cause this kind of controversy. But I think you made the joke last week, Mike. You said the only bad press is your obituary.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not necessarily bad press, even though there are a lot of people out there saying none of it's true.
It's a great story for us to follow. The other one that I didn't follow, Wendy, so you have to be my eyes and ears on this. I'm allergic to, and I actually have a doctor's note that says I'm allergic to award shows, that if I see them, I start twitching, I drool, I fall on the floor. So I did not watch the Golden Globes. And as I just said a little bit earlier on the podcast here, I find some of these award shows to be really disingenuous and just so shallow. And this one is the most shallow of all to me, because it's the Hollywood foreign press. And because they hand out trophies, celebrities will show up. Now, last night, we were all wondering what's going to happen with the Me Too movement. And everybody was told to wear black, et cetera, et cetera. And you already know how I feel about this this wasn't even an award show last night. It was the DNC nominating Oprah. But from your perspective, was there anything gained from the Me Too movement and the black attire last night?
Well, they set out to make a point, and they did. They did make that point. And I was just thinking before the show, can you only imagine the backlash on Twitter if somebody had showed up wearing something other than black? But nobody did. Everybody wore black.
There was one actress who did, and hang on a second, because I'll dig this up, and she has been roundly criticized all up and down the Twitter. One young actress decided, well, I'm going to make a name for myself. I'm going to go out and...
I'll bet she did.
Oh, and she's somebody I've never heard of before, and I'm guessing we don't hear from her in the future. She's not going to be cast again. A young, very attractive woman who wore... Well, I was trying to figure out, is she inside that dress trying to get out or outside that dress trying to get back in? It was very, very little material for the body she was covering. But it was red. It was bright red, and she took a lot of heat for it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so there was
one. I'm surprised that the cameras didn't zero in on her because I was glued to the set. I wanted to see if I could pick somebody out who wasn't wearing black. That is really something. But, no, you're right. It was a speech by Oprah that some anticipated, some didn't. But, Mike, should it have overshadowed the evening? I know there were lots of talented screenwriters and actors and actresses and musicians that were all there hoping to get awards, and when you look in retrospect what's made headlines, it's Oprah's hashtag 2020 speech, opposed to some of the talent that was celebrated.
Well, one of the most interesting things that just happened as you and I are putting this call together, we watched as NBC, after Oprah's speech, declared she was going to be president. They called her President Oprah, 2020 President Oprah. That tweet was just deleted by NBC. Just now.
Oh, wow.
Which I think is telling. And I watched MSNBC this morning to see if they would obsess about it as well. They seem to be dialing it back. I think somebody at NBC realized the Democrats are not happy that we are already diminishing their convention, taking apart the possible political careers of Elizabeth Warren or Joe Biden or anybody who's raised their hand and said, we're a 2020 candidate. So that's a real funny one for me. I find that fascinating that NBC broke that out already. And it's gone. You can't find it.
And you know, Mike, your analysis is very astute. I think you're right on the money there. Because, who is it up to regarding who wins? We both know, and all your listeners know, that get their cues from Twitter and from Facebook and from social media. So to have that diminish, like you say, the very qualified people that are in the running, they cannot be happy about having seen that. Now, then that begs the question, is this all tongue-in-cheek? To read some of the news stories that I did this morning, you would think the answer was no.
Well, this is going to be one to watch. This is going to be one to watch
you
to
bet.
See if the DNC actually pushes back at NBC and pushes back at the Oprah thing. I don't think we've heard the last of either of these just now. This is one to watch. And Wendy, I just played something a little bit earlier as well. I think this whole Oprah thing started way back in the summer of 2016 when Jimmy Kimmel had her on, asked her if she would be Donald Trump's running mate because of something he said in 1999. She said no, and then it kind of danced around whether or not she would run. And she certainly seemed to hint that she was better qualified than either one of them, Hillary or Trump. Fascinating clip.
And she's continued to drop those hints between then and now. So we may be onto something. We'll have to discuss it again next week, I guess.
I hope so. Will you come back next week and talk about something? I have something kind of non-political but political. It's the worst or the worst or the best, depending on your point of view. You know, the frivolous lawsuits that are out there. Like somebody said the Subway foot-long sandwich wasn't really a foot long. And so they were suing, claiming the $5 foot long wasn't a foot long. There's tons of these out there. But I wanna have a talk with you, the prosecutor, about some of these frivolous lawsuits.
Plenty of them there.
Great. Let's do it. Let's do it next Monday if we can.
Sounds good.
Terrific. Her name is Dr. Wendy Patrick. Wendy Patrick, PhD, is where you will find her. WendyPatrickPhD.com. Check it out. And Wendy, thank you. We'll see you in a week.
See you next week. Always a pleasure.
Speaking of really rich celebrity presidential candidates, don't forget to go to my Twitter account and vote in the online vital question poll that asks, which of these super famous billionaires could be running for the presidency in 2020? Donald Trump, Oprah Winfrey, Mark Cuban, Mark Zuckerberg, they've all of them hinted that that could happen. We already know Trump is looking at it, but the other three have hinted and in some cases have exploratory committees going. Currently, President Trump is the big leader. He's way ahead of everybody else on this one. So Donald Trump's up with about 65% of the votes. You can vote, and tomorrow we will review the answers. Now, I've got a couple of stories that aren't really connected, but they caught my eye, and I have to share them with you. One of them belongs in that quiver of information arrows that you need to have ready when some of your liberal friends talk to you about single-payer health care. Single-payer health care, or what we fondly call Obamacare on steroids. Obamacare wanted to become single-payer. And single-payer health care is what they have in Britain and in Canada. The government runs the whole health care system, all aspects of it. And you know what that means. It's about as efficient, both economically and in actual practice, as Amtrak. England just announced that they have told 50,000 patients who are biding their time for a medical procedure, you're going to have to wait because we're just, we're broke and the British healthcare system isn't working. So 50,000 people are going to have to wait. Now, consider how many people that would be here in America. Probably close to 300,000 people being told, I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to get to you because the government-run healthcare system stinks on ice. England, Canada, single-payer healthcare systems, both do not work. What are we doing? Now, there's another story, speaking of medical and healthcare. There's another story in the paper today. It's a really strange, silly story, but it's one I'm going to cover anyway. It talks about an American who was on a vacation in Thailand, and he was arrested at the airport. He was arrested at the airport as he was on a rampage, naked, running around the airport, throwing his poop at people, including the police who were trying to wrangle him. The guy claims that he took too much Viagra, and it put him into a wild rampage where he stripped off his clothes and then ran around the airport throwing poop at people, including the police, as I mentioned. I'm just wondering if this is going to inspire a warning label with the Viagra. Caution, taking too much of this prescription could result in a naked rampage where you throw your poop. No thank you. No thank you indeed. I've been really tough on California lately, and I've gotten some notes from some of you saying, why do you pick on California? We don't want to live here. We're sorry. I'm not picking on you guys. I'm picking on your state. And I hope you win the lottery or get a big job where you can leave if you don't want to be there and live in a state that's going to try and drag the rest of us down with all of its socialist and social justice warrior policies. But California, you can take a seat today because New York has taken the spotlight, specifically New York City, where I almost lost it this weekend as I read that the guy who was driving a ferry boat fell asleep at the controls and rammed the Staten Island ferry into the docks. That guy, he won his case. You see, this guy fell asleep while driving a commuter ferry boat, slammed it into the docks. People were injured, and it's not the one that killed a whole bunch of people, but this was a terrible situation. This guy injured people. He shouldn't be driving a ferry boat. And the minute they looked at the tape, because all these ferry boats have cameras that watch the person driving the boat, the minute the organization looked at the tape, they saw this guy fall asleep seconds before the accident. he was immediately put on a 30-day suspension with no pay and demoted. That was 2 years ago. Last Friday, a judge ruled that that suspension and demotion was not fair, that he was going to get all of his back pay, including $20,000 in some sort of a bonus that he earned, and they couldn't demote him. Insane, right? And why did this happen? Why did this happen? Because of the union rules. The union rules, the unions provided a lawyer for the guy, and the lawyers fought on his behalf, saying that in the rules for the job, in the job description, nowhere does it say you can't close your eyes. Most ridiculous argument I've heard, and yet the argument is silly. The worst part of it is the judge allowed it and said, yes, I see your point. This guy could not be demoted, and he's now getting his back pay and his bonus, and he's getting his job back. Thank you, unions. Oh, speaking of unions, the teachers' unions in New York are under scrutiny right now because they're not exactly taking the union dues and spending them on good things for the teacher. No, they're spending them on things like Mets tickets, trips to New Orleans that they call educational experiences for the upper deck of the union. The teachers' union also spent dues money on lobbying, almost $4 million, including a bunch of anti-charter school lobbying. The union president also gets almost $300,000 a year as well. Let's keep it in the education world and focus on a couple other stories that irritate me. These are on the collegiate level. The Queens College of New York actually has a president who is paid over $300,000 a year. $300,000 a year. Pretty good work if you can get it, right? Well, you would think that would be enough money to afford to pay for your housing. No, they also get a house. And in this case, it's a mansion. But the guy who is the president, Felix Matos Rodriguez, doesn't want to live in the mansion. He likes his own house. So the university has to pay him another $5,000 a month not to live somewhere. I would love to be paid not to live somewhere. It's insane. It really is insane. This is why I'm so happy to be out in New York. Now, close to New York, but also in the college area, stories of stupid things. You know how students are always saying, our student debt is crushing us. We have too much student debt. Why can't college be cheaper? Why can't college be free? Well, Yale University is having a yard sale today. A yard sale. They're selling off furniture and kitchen equipment and other stuff from the historic Commons Hall and Memorial Hall. Those two buildings are undergoing renovation because Yale got a huge donation from one guy. One guy, Steven Schwarzman, donated $150 million for the renovations. That's going to take him a couple years. But you can go up and buy something from Yale. Now, Yale is very rich, one of the richest endowments, like Harvard, like the University of Texas. But why is the school so expensive? Why? It doesn't make any sense. They've got plenty of money. They could have free tuition. But here's the weird part. Can't you just give away that furniture? Why are you selling it? It just doesn't make sense. And some of these students are screaming about their college loan debt and their student debt. Why aren't you standing up and protesting that? Let's check out the history file. On this day back in the day, and I'm talking about January 8th, on this day back in 1815, the last battle in the War of 1812 was fought. Wait a minute, 1815 and it's the War of 1812? Yeah, things didn't move quite as quickly. This happened on January 8th, 1815, with Andrew Jackson, General Andrew Jackson, leading the American forces against the invading British military. But that wrapped up on this day. But 1815, not 1812. In 1958, American chess whiz Bobby Fischer won his first U.S. chess championship. 1958, Bobby Fischer, champ of chess in America. He was 14 years old at the time. In 1964, President Lyndon Johnson announced that we're going to fight the war on poverty. We've spent a lot of money fighting the war on poverty. In fact, I believe we're still fighting it. Although people who live at the poverty level in this country live significantly better lives than people in, say, India, who are considered to be in poverty, or China, or name any other country. We've got it pretty good here. The weird thing was, and I read this weekend, that there apparently are 10% of the staffers who work at Amazon who are on food stamps. I thought Amazon was paying a good living wage. Interesting, right? Back into the history files, on this day in 2011, Democratic Congresswoman Gabby Giffords was one of the 17 people who were shot outside a grocery store in Arizona. I believe it was a small campaign rally, and the gunman, Jared Loughner, shot all through the crowd, killing 6 people and severely wounding Congresswoman Giffords. And I know she's still fighting to this day. And she's also one of the loudest voices for more gun control. It was a horrific day, and what a strong woman she is. We disagree on many things, but you can't find fault with Gabby Giffords' courage. God bless Gabby Giffords, her family, and all the families who were injured or lost a loved one on that day. Today's word of the day is an adjective, prodigious. Prodigious. Something is prodigious when it is remarkably or impressively great in its size, degree, or extent, or unnatural or abnormal. So use it either way today. But try and use it 3 times today and you will show off your prodigious vocabulary. See what I did there? Mike Opelka for Pure Opelka. We'll see you tomorrow. What's that? I didn't say it? Oh, testudo, my friends. Testudo.